I'm George Faust.
I'm Karaski Melvin. And this is Inside Cajun Nation.
KLFY and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette present Inside Cajun Nation.
Welcome to Inside Cajun Nation. It's Sun Belt Tournament time for Cajun Hoops. Both teams headed to Pensacola, Florida. The men, a 5 seed. The women, a 7 seed. We'll start with the men, who took on Coastal in the second round. First half, 5-2. Kobe Julian makes a move, gets the bucket to drop. 9-7 now. Hosanna Katinge muscles through for the deuce. Cajuns up 18 in the second half. Julian going to the hole. He had 25 points, 10 of 15 from the floor. Louisiana advances to win 80-66. Quarterfinals was against Arkansas State. Red Wolves up 2 first half. Michael Thomas stops, he pops. Then 5-all, Julian will go to the glass. 8-7 A-State, Julian a steal, Katinge finish. Then later on in the first half, Brandon Hardy would sink a 3. A-State would take the lead later in the half. Freddie Hicks adds to it with an and-1. Arkansas State eliminates the Cajuns 89-62.
Boy, you got to keep the ball in front of you and guard it, and we didn't do that today. Our lineup changed since the last time we played them. Their lineup changed too, and I felt like Hicks and Todd were the difference in the game. They were the best two players in the game. We had a good run here. We've won 4 in a row. 8 out of 10, I think, and just didn't have it today. It was the wrong time to have a bad game.
While the Cajun men's tournament ended with the Red Wolves, the Cajun women's tourney began with them. 2-2, second quarter, Tamara Johnson going to the rack. Then, same quarter, Tamia Robinson shows off her shooting touch. Then, Alicia Blanton gets into the scoring act. Cajuns would win this one, 54-41. Up next for Louisiana, second-seeded Troy. Cajuns down by 2 with under 4 minutes to play. Destiny Rice goes to the baseline, up and in. Cajuns tie it at 61. Under 3 minutes to go now. Tamia Robinson pulls up, hits the 3 from the wing. Cajuns take a 3-point lead, 64-61. Then later on, Robinson again for 3. Again, she had 15 points to lead the Cajuns to victory and the upset, 67-65. Louisiana played James Madison in the semifinals. First quarter, JMU up 16-7. Destiny Rice gets the deep 2-pointer. Then second quarter, 21-17. James Madison, a 2 here, a shorter 2-pointer for the Cajuns. Then Cajuns down 11 in the third. Brandy Williams steps back, hits the 3. However, the Dukes would hold on. They'd win 64-54. We're heading outdoors next on Inside Cajun Nation. After the break, we look at the week in Cajun baseball and softball.
This portion of Cajun Nation is brought to you by Lafayette Coca-Cola Bottling.
Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. After a 3-0 win versus Northwestern State in Natchitoches earlier this week, Cajun baseball returns to the friendly confines of the Teague. They face another in-state opponent, that being Tulane. Here's what happened on Friday. Some kids ready to watch the Cajuns and the Green Wave play. Bottom first, Cajuns pitcher L.P. Langvin strikes out Tulane's Nathan Rose, 1 of 6 on the night. Tulane pitcher Luke Flotta facing John Taylor. Taylor hits it behind second base, and the shortstop Marcus Klein with a stop, but the errant throw to first allows Maddox Mandino to score, 2-1 Tulane. Second inning, Flotta strikes out Brian Broussard. Then, bottom of the third inning, Cajuns would take the lead. Taylor with a bunt there, and then later on, Kyle DeBarge, a single to right. Mandino would end up scoring again. Cajuns would go up 4-2. The game went back and forth. Tulane then responded back, and they would go on to win 11-8. Game 2 on Saturday, no score. Bottom 1 with a runner on. DeBarge goes right through the middle. Mandino scores the first run of this game. Bottom 4, Tulane up 2-1. Duncan Pastore levels the score with a little flare to right. Lee Amade coming across. Bottom 8, 3-2, Tulane with a runner on. Trey LaFleur gives the Cajuns their first lead of the game. A 2-run shot, his third of the year. This game will go to extras. Bottom 10, 4-4 with 2 on. Amade delivers the game-winning hit. Cajuns walk it off 5-2. to Ford. Now to the rubber match on Sunday. Green Wave already up 2-0. They're now up 3-0. Brady Marquette launches a solo shot in the top of the fifth inning. Now, 3-1 Tulane, bottom of the ninth inning. A runner on, two out. Jacob Moore strikes out Luke Juhas. The pitch is dropped. Juhas gets to first. Now, two on for Louisiana and DeBarge at the dish. The fans, well, they'll tell the story. It's deep, high, and gone. A walk-off winner for DeBarge. Cajuns win 4-3.
I honestly don't know. I blacked out after I hit it. I mean, I don't know. Saw a good pitch and took a good swing, and what happened?
It's just he has it. Johnny Manziel had it. Alex Bregman has it. Baby Blake Trahan had it. And he just expects to win no matter what he's doing.
Now, Louisiana softball did something no one in softball had done over a year. 71 games to be exact. That was beat the three-time reigning champion Oklahoma Sooners. Jordan Campbell opened up the scoring with her second home run of the year in the second inning. That game would go to an extra eighth inning tied at four, and that's when Louisiana scored three times to lead 7-4, including a two-run single by Sam Rowe. Gloria Riasetto, the only Cajun pitcher used in the upset. Head coach Jerry Glasgow on this historic win for the Cajun program.
Very exciting win, you know, and I want to be positive this morning, but also, like, I want you to understand, like, I'm not happy with the state of our team right now. Like, I feel like, as a coach, I feel like we're better than what we're playing, and that's my responsibility. I told the girls yesterday after game one, I'm so pleased with you guys. I want my team to understand, like, this is on me as a head coach. To get you to where you deserve to be at the top.
Cajun softball continued its winning ways with a pair of wins at the Melissa Moore Tournament in Conway, Arkansas. In the first game, Louisiana blanked Stephen F. Austin 11-0 in five innings. Sam Landry gave up only one hit while striking out seven. Maddie Hayden, Kayla Falterman, Sophie Piskos each had two RBIs for the Cajuns. In the second game, Louisiana beat the host team Central Arkansas 7-4. In the top of the fifth inning, the Cajuns turned a 2-1 lead to a 6-1 lead. Sam Rowe with a two-run single, then Piskos added a two-run homer. They finished their time at the Melissa Moore Tournament on Sunday with a couple more wins, winning 13-4 against Stephen F. Austin. Jordan Campbell's three-run home run capped off a four-run first inning. Against Central Arkansas, it was a 10-0 win in five. Like the SFA game, the Cajuns posted a four-run first inning. Laney Crater connected on a two-run shot. Brooke Ellestad homered in the second inning. Sam Landry went the distance, allowing four hits, striking out seven. Louisiana has won its last four. Stick around when Inside Cajun Nation returns. Sports Director George Faust talks with track and field head coach Tommy Badon.
Cajun Nation, thanks for staying up and enjoying a little Cajun sports news with us. And we have the new UL head track coach. It's Tommy Badon with us inside Cajun Nation here. And coach, congratulations on the promotion, I guess, the reduction of interim from your name. Tell me a little bit about the excitement level for you, because this is a job, as you were telling me, that you've always had kind of circled in the back of your mind here.
Yeah, it was way back there. it was this exciting time, you know. I mean, I'm super excited about being able to take over this spot, you know. I've been a track coach for a long time, and I've been assistant here twice, and graduated from UL. You know, I have a degree here. I coached here in the 90s. I played football here, and so I've been a Cajun my whole life. And you know, obviously, I think there's a little bit in the back of a lot of coaches' minds that they'd always like to go back where they played, or maybe where they fit in as a member of the community, and got mom and dad looking at Adam and the family and friends, and you know, it's a pretty cool.
Yeah, and so since you kind of got back and kind of got into the realm of college coaching, I'm thinking back to last year, you guys had a pretty talented squad, did pretty well. Just kind of give me a rundown of how last year ended, and then what you guys have built on from that.
Well, the men got third indoors, so we're doing well. You know, the women, we're built a little bit more for outdoor track. You know, I mean, people that don't know track that well, they indoor and outdoor track are a lot different. And so we're kind of built a little bit more for outdoor track on the women's side, but you know, we have had a little run of success. The men were second indoor and third outdoor last year. We got a better team for outdoors this year. We're kind of closing the gap a little bit on the conference, you know, top teams, and very exciting, you know, honestly, with the number of COVID seniors we have and some of the older athletes that took a chance on us back 5 years ago when we weren't so good. It's kind of cool to be able to see them reach the kind of level of success that we always kind of talk to them about. They didn't really have much to go on other than blind faith in what I was telling them. We have great facilities at UL. We got a great city to recruit to, got a good administration, and you know, we have a lot of things going for us, right? But when it's all said and done, they didn't have a lot of previous success, at least in my group, which was the sprints, hurdles, and relays, you know. Yeah. So I think that what we set out to do, the vision that we had 5 years ago, is starting to really reach the level where we kind of hope to be.
Yeah, and so you talk about the facilities, and it's very nice out there at the track and field complex. Is there something you would like to see maybe to upgrade it a little bit? There's always room for upgrades, right?
Yeah. Well, at some point we'll need a you know, tracks don't last forever in Louisiana with the heat and the humidity,
yeah, sure,
and everything,
sure.
The weather. So we'll need a new track at some point over the next four or five years. And very pleased with our, you know, we have a great weight coach and training staff. It's awesome. You know, so we've got some infrastructure in place, obviously, that a lot of schools aren't blessed to have.
And right.
We have a 14,000 square foot weight room. We have an indoor football field that we can use on rainy days, on lightning days, and that we know we're not able to be outside. So there's a lot of things that if you look at some of the other programs around the state, and I have a lot of good friends coaching at those places, but they have limitations that we don't have, you know. And even though we're not the school an hour away, and you know, we're a mid-major school in the Sun Belt Conference that does have a lot of positive things to recruit to and a lot of really good things going on.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next is are you able to kind of recruit the way you've wanted to? You said 5 years ago you kind of had the vision. These guys that are now 5 years older have that vision, kind of executing what you guys are hoping for. Have you guys been able to kind of grab what you want to keep it going past those 5 years?
Yeah, I'm literally, the last couple of weeks, have had two coaches within the state say that they don't really recruit the state because we've signed just about every athlete in the state that's Division I level that LSU's not recruiting. I mean, I don't mind saying it, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So we need to be the next option, right? And we really feel good that we've done that. Our goal has always been recruit Louisiana, lock down Louisiana if we can, go over to Houston, lots of 6A, 5A schools there, lots of talent. Go up into the junior college in Kansas, South Plains in Texas, New Mexico, junior college, kind of solidify some relationships there. And then, you know, pick and choose a couple of international kids. And then we really haven't hit the portal except in the summer.
Yeah.
So if we lose a kid or something to grades or whatever, we go into the portal in the summer and we try to selectively replace,
you
know, individual people, right?
Yeah.
And we picked up the school record holder in the 400 meters through the portal. I picked up a really good male sprinter this past summer, you know. So, yeah, the portal's been good to us, you know. So we just don't have a whole bunch of people that we recruit off of the portal.
All right, Coach, don't go anywhere. We're gonna talk some more. We're gonna talk maybe a little bit about your schedule and how the the spring season you'll have to guide me through it.
Yes, sir.
The outdoor, I guess, is
you and the rest of them.
Is right. I understand, but guide me through it. Don't go away. We're coming back with Tommy Badon, the new UL head track coach. So don't go anywhere. We're back right after this on Inside Cajun Nation. Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. Thanks so much for sticking and staying. George Faust here. UL head track coach Tommy Badall there. That sound good to you?
It does, man. I lie.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I hear you. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. And you know, I met you a long time ago when you were at Westminster Christian Academy in Opelousas, and you were the football coach. That's how I was introduced to you. I didn't know you were a track superstar.
Wow.
You know? How many years ago was that?
I got there in 2003. So I don't remember exactly when you came aboard.
I got here in sports.
It was early on. It was early on. Early on around there. Yeah. Yep.
2002, I started here. And 2003, I started in sports.
Yeah, you weren't covering much in 2003. We were pretty bad. But 2004, we got good.
Yeah. Y'all had some quality
teams.
We did.
We won 92 games while I was there.
Very impressive. Well, let's talk a little bit about your current team, the UL track and field team. What's the schedule look like? What happens now as the spring comes and you get ready for that?
So we're training right now for outdoor season. We start Saturday at McNeese. Then we actually have our home meet, the Louisiana Classics. It really is the Louisiana Classics. We have almost all the state schools coming.
Cool.
So it'll be a really neat, a really neat little meet. Then we go to LSU for a big meet there. We always do really well there. Then we're going to take a week off. Then we're going to go to Alabama to the Alabama Relays at the University of Alabama. Then we go to Northwestern for the Deion Johnson. And then the week after that, for the first time ever, we're going to go to Auburn. Leroy Burrell, the former world record holder in the 100 meters, he's the head coach at Auburn, and we're friends. So we're going to go to Auburn this year, and we're really excited about that. The following week, you know, ULM is hosting our conference meet May the 13th. So they're having a meet for teams to get an opportunity to go run on their track. Oh. So several of the conference teams will be going up there. That's the last week of April. 2 weeks later, we have the conference meet up there. And then 2 weeks after that, we have the regionals. The regionals are comprised of the top 48 people in each event in the eastern half of America.
Okay.
As you have to qualify for that. Yeah. That's in Lexington, Kentucky, at the University of Kentucky. And then out of that meet, the top 12 earn a trip to Eugene, Oregon, to Tracktown, USA, for the Nationals.
Gotcha.
It's the absolute hardest sport to make it to the national competition of any sport. They do the percentage of athletes who play and who gets to go to the NCAA participation, and track and indoor track are the two hardest sports to make.
Very interesting how that all works. And
yep.
And when you talk about getting a chance to play or compete at different venues, does that help attract athletes, I guess is what I'm saying? Like if you say, hey, we're going to Auburn this year, hey, okay, you know, hey, we're going to LSU, which is an easy trip, but LSU's one of the premier track programs.
It's like any other sport. The cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
And so you want to be able to put your athletes in the best possible position for them to do their best. And to do that, you want them to be able to compete at the highest level. It's one of the selling points of track. You know, it's not football. So we're able to, on a weekly basis, we can go head up against the very best. So our 4x1 relay last year, every week, was going up against some of the best schools in the country. And we ended up going to regionals, make it to nationals. But I really think it's because every week we were going up against the teams that were winning nationals, right? So it wasn't no big deal, you know, for us. I mean, we're running against them cats every week. So I think that we've tried to do that. We've tried to expose our kids to the highest level of track, and that in turn has raised their level of competition. And so we have, for a mid-major program, a lot of my friends that coach at mid-majors, if they can get 4, 5, 6 kids to the regional meet, they've had a great season. I think Troy had 7 last year. Mm-hmm. We had 18. You know, we had 18 last year. We had 21 the year before. So we've had almost 40 kids in the last 2 years go to the regional meet. That's kind of like a standard. Like, you know, how's your school? How's your program?
Gotcha.
You look at how many regional qualifiers you have, how many conference champions you have. That's kind of like, you know. So we had 12 indoor all-conference performers. at the recently held conference championship. But we feel like we can have over 20 again this year at regionals. You know, we can have three or four relays and a number of individual, you know, competitors, jumpers and throwers. I mean, you know, it should. We're very excited about our outdoor team.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I came out last summer, I guess, or spring, and watched you guys. And my question is this: you guys, all those guys are fast, right? I mean, they got to be, right? Can you improve somebody's speed? If I run a 5.0 40, there's a way for me to get to 4.8?
George, okay, so there's certain
not people, you, but yes,
there are people. Certain people that have certain limitations.
I understand. I was using me as an example.
This is how we look at it, right? This is how we look at track. So if you run the Kentucky Derby, and I'm not saying that I'm not equating my athletes to horses by any means.
Right. No, I understand what you mean. But you put it in some
it's an allegory. So yeah. If I want to run in the Kentucky Derby, I have to be a thoroughbred, and it's a higher quality of horse that gets to run in there. So I want to try to get my thoroughbred to be the best thoroughbred and to run as fast as that thoroughbred can run. Right. So if I'm coaching at the Division I level, it's the same thing. But if I'm coaching at a high school, or I'm coaching at a junior high or whatever, my level of athlete might be lower, but I want to still get the most out of them. So absolutely, yes, if you know what you're doing, you can help anybody get faster because there's so many different things that go into it other than just, you know, hey, let's line up next to each other and see who wins. It's really way more than that.
Yeah,
if it wouldn't be, then you would take all of the 5-star recruits every year, in every event,
put them out there.
And they would always be they'd always win NCs, right? They're the best in high school, right? So if coaching and training and other things don't matter, then those would always be the people in the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's just not the case. Yeah. Because track is a developmental sport. So a kid might have played mostly football in high school and just did track for fun, and then decides in college he's going to focus on track. A Trajan Jones, great example. Trajan was a great high school football player. For whatever reason, a little undersized or whatever. Well, Trajan Jones ends up, he's number two all time at UL in the 100.
Right.
Because he focused just on track. So he ran 10:48 in high school, but he ran 10:21 last year us.
Sure enough.
Right? And he ran 21:43 in high school, but he ran 20:76 last year for us in the 200. You know, so
it's
kind of a good example, right? Track wasn't his total main focus in high school. He was good in track, but when you go to college, all of a sudden you get other people that are faster than you that you're training with. You got a good coach, hopefully, that is helping you with the planning and the preparation and learning how to start, learning how to accelerate, you know. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Interesting.
And staying healthy.
So
a lot of people get hurt.
Absolutely. You got to be available. Right. Availability.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
That's why they pay us the big bucks.
That's right? It. I understand. Well, Coach, thanks so much for the time. And if we could cut about 0.4 seconds off of my 40 time, and maybe you never know, I could get under 5.
If I can get 0.4 off of you, man, I'd tell you what, they need to pay me way more than you are.
Hey, look, you never know. I was an athlete at one point in my life, just not now.
I was too.
Coach, thanks for the time, man. You guys, thanks so much for sticking around and watching Inside Cajun Nation. For Coach Tommy Badon, George Faust here. Have a great week, everybody. Mm-hmm.